Lord to thank and to bless me. And at the same time, as I often have said before, it's unnecessary or undeserved. I don't know what way to look at it. But I do appreciate your generosity and your love for myself and my wife. It's always been that way. I pray God will continue to bless us as we continue to work together here in this location. Continue to get God's word out. And what a blessing it was. And I think, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, to see these young people, all this big group of young people up here singing in the choir, and then as they break down into individual groups, man, I tell you what, they bless them. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll keep saying it. We are blessed here. I'll tell you, amen. Thank the Lord for our young people. I am blessed. And as I said, I think it's one of the best gifts a pastor can give. I really appreciate the statement and what a blessing it is. This time, I'll invite you to go ahead and open your Bible this evening. I know when I left here Wednesday, Sunday night, that I said I was going to go back into our Christian Life and Walk series, but I'm going to preach a Christian message tonight. I'm going to preach a message about the birth of Christ. Amen. What it was and what it is. You know, I believe there's one thing that we always need to instill in our children, and that's the reason that we celebrate the birth of Christ. I believe there's a necessity to celebrate, to realize, because I know that upon that night so long ago when the shepherds looked up and they were told of these miraculous happenings, the Bible says they glorified God and they went away praising. And I believe that's exactly what God expects His people to do. Thank Him and praise Him for the goodness of the God of heaven who sent His only Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary that we might have life, that we might have it more abundantly. I direct your attention this evening for just a little while to the book of Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is one of the greatest gifts you're about to see opened up before your very eyes, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill. And it came to pass as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. I want to bring a message tonight simply entitled, The Way to Happiness, or The Way of Peace. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, again, dear God, as we come before your throne, we do so with thankful heart. Thankful, dear God, for your greatness, your goodness toward us. We thank you, dear God, for opening up to us the way of peace. Amen. And how that provides happiness, joy, and contentment. Lord, I pray that even in this house tonight, we may hear some lost soul receiving the greatest gift ever given mankind, the gift of the Savior, as he died for them on the cross of Calvary to make clear the way of peace. Lord, I pray, bless us this evening. Pour out your Spirit on this house, dear God, and upon all that gather in this place. Lord, may this be the evening that our hearts are overjoyed. And happiness rings forth from the pews of this building. And even from the cars and the car lot. Lord, I pray your blessings upon us. Bless us this season, Lord. We thank you already for your goodness toward us. We pray, dear God, that as the songs that have been sang have lifted up our hearts, that those very same songs were songs of praise to thy ears. Lord, bless us this evening. We recount the great gift given mankind. I pray that there'll be those in this house tonight who will reach out and receive it as well. Forgive us our sins in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The way peace. That's what Luke 1:79 speaks of. To guide our feet into the way of peace. You look at that and you can look at it any way you want to, but peace always spells happiness. Peace always brings about a joy in the heart. That's what peace does. Just like the bulletin that we had this past Sunday. How those men in World War I, as they came to Christmas, how that night they would lay down their arms and come together and sing joy. There was a moment of peace amongst them in a bitter fight. But I'm talking about something tonight that will be lasting peace to the individual. To the soul who will reach out and receive, there is abundant peace offered tonight. Remind them to our visiting friends and our listeners all around this world this evening. As was prophesied about the life and work of John the Baptist, Jesus Christ was brought forth to give us, humanity, the way of happiness. To look upon us with mercy and favor and regard. The Bible says in Luke 1:68-69, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Then verse 78 again says, Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I wish to draw our attention tonight away from that which overwhelms us and destroys our peace and happiness. Things such as buying, getting, making sure we've got tonight that no work will ever achieve. How is true happiness obtained? Our children are excited, aren't they? Some of us older children are excited too, right? I just admit. But how is true happiness obtained? Many have been searching diligently for that one special person in their lives, a gift with meaning. Something that they will remember for the rest of their lives. I think I said that last year, didn't I? That just come to my mind. I think I said that last year, but it's true. We want to be known to be giving that very special someone something really that they'll never forget. I ask you tonight, what gift can even come close to the gift that God offers? How do we receive the perfect gift that God offers us this very night? Right here in this house. Now in this parking lot. What is the perfect gift, you ask? Why? It's the way of happiness. Is that not what every soul in this house desires tonight? To be relieved of all the pressures of life, to have a moment of just pure joy. No worries. It's kind of hard for humanity to get there, isn't it? It's kind of hard for us as human beings to come to a place in our lives where there's absolutely no more worries. We're human. My wife gets on to me all the time. I tell her I don't worry. She knows better. I tell her that I don't have all these great anxieties building up inside of me, but she knows that I'm more human as well. And even though that I rest in my faith and I'm assured of my salvation, I look at my church family that God has allowed me the privilege of pastoring for nearly 17 years. And you know what I want? I just want what God is going to bless you with. I want the very best that God has offered. And oftentimes as a pastor, when you see things that are not necessarily where you think they ought to be according to the Word of God, where people's minds ought to be, sometimes it gets a hold of us. They're going to miss the mark. They're going to miss out. And then, as a pastor, I begin to get concerned to such a degree that, yeah, sometimes, even though I've told her, I keep going and check it, but sometimes as a pastor, I see things going on and it breaks my heart because I know there is a joy that's going to be missed. But folks, I'll tell you, to those that are redeemed in this house tonight, God has everything in the world to offer us. He has His joy, He has His peace, He has His contentment and happiness to give each and every one of us if only we completely put everything in His hands. That's just one of the gifts that God gives His children. Because tonight I want to speak about a special gift that's given to those who, just like me years ago, did not deserve it. Just like you and I, even here tonight, could never earn it. I want to talk about a special gift that leads to the way of happiness and how it might be obtained by you this evening. So first of all, we see that God gave us or gifted us His only Son. This is the true meaning of what real gifting is about. The real gift that God is that He gave His only begotten Son for us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, there you begin to open up what we just read a moment ago, how that Christ came, born of a virgin. He was born in a little inn in a manger, as he was laid and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. This was the very gift, the very Son of God. This is, as the song was sang a moment ago, and I wish you would sing it for you, but I might not get myself in trouble tonight. But I can get in trouble real quick. But I tell you, when I hear Sister Debbie sing that song, Mary, did you know? Oh, what a blessing it is just to stop and see as the song comes to life in your very imagery, in your eyes. Mary, did you know? That little babe that she wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Going to die for her long time. The very beautiful gift that God gives was the preciousness of His own dear Son. Upon this scene in Bethlehem, the shepherds began glorifying and praising God. Why? Because He gave us His Son to redeem us. In John chapter 3, and this is, one of those scriptures I turn to a lot, I know. But in verse 14, we'll begin reading at verse 13. The Bible says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave." There, my friend, is the best gift that you will ever receive. You'll never receive another gift like this. Those of us who have been saved have realized from the moment of our salvation that there has never, ever been another gift quite like this. You can save all you want. You can have all the money in all the world and have enough to buy every trinket of gold that this earth was able to produce and never die. And you'll never come close to the gift of Jesus Christ. But they were glorifying God. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Mary, did you know? In John chapter 4 and verse 10, as the Samaritan woman was coming to draw water, and Jesus asked her for water. And there began a conversation between them. But in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said unto thee, give me drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water." If thou knewest the gift of God. That little word "gift" there in the Greek is doreen, and it means to give freely, free of charge, without payment. That's what a real gift is, and that's the gift that Jesus Christ said He was willing to give her. That was the very gift that Jesus is even now willing to give you, if you will receive what He has to offer. This is the gift that God offers to all who will receive. In John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, we go back there for just a moment. And again, here the Bible says, "He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." My friend, friend, there is the greatest gift that you will ever receive. Receive Jesus Christ. This week, as all the presents are open and all the wrappings go by the wayside, eventually over time, these thoughts will begin to fade away. It won't be long that you'll misplace that one little gift that you thought so much of. It won't be long that that little gift that you have put aside is lost and you don't know where to find it. It won't be long that that little gift that you've been given by somebody that loved you dearly has broken and is no longer any good. There's a gift that Jesus offers that will never be good. The gift that Jesus offers is a gift that will go on giving, and you'll never misplace it. It'll always be right there in your heart. It'll always be right there. You'll not have to wander far to find it. When the devil begins to chase you down the road and you turn around and you wonder where your gift is, it's right here. It's still right there in your heart. Jesus, the very Son of God, is that gift that will never be given. And you'll never lose it. That's the beauty of it. And guess what? It'll never break down. It'll always fulfill its due. It'll never wear out. This is the gift of God that keeps on giving. You know, you've heard that, haven't you? Give the gift that keeps giving. I want to tell you about a real gift that keeps giving. It's worth more than any diamond. It's worth more than all the diamonds of the world is the gift of Jesus, the very Son of God. This is the way to true happiness. The perfect gift which we'll give throughout all eternity. It'll never go back. Now, say, we see another gift. The gift of God, the gift of grace. Your grace is one of those little gifts that mankind receives that he surely didn't deserve. That's the way I look at that love offer. You give me a love, I surely don't deserve it. But it's the graciousness of the loving people of this body that one can give me. But as I look at this thing called grace, I realize that too is a gift of God. It's the unmerited favor. That's what grace is, the unmerited favor. It's where mercy comes in when I deserve to be punished. In Romans chapter 5, I'll go over here in just a moment and look at this. In Romans chapter 5, begin reading at verse 12, please. We're talking about the free gift that God affords us with. We want to talk about Christmas gifts. I want to talk to you about the gift that God gives. Amen. And he gives it all year long to everyone, anyone who will come to receive it. The Bible says in verse 12, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's the gift that the first Adam gave each and every one of us here today. That was an awful gift, wasn't it? That was a gift that is stunned from the day that Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the tree. It has stunned us ever since. It's one of those gifts that it's one of those gifts that you wish somebody else got. It's one of those gifts that, you know, they'll pass around the gifts and all of a sudden it comes to you and you thought, oh man, I wish he would have got that. No. When Adam gifted us, he gifted us with a gift that Yes, he keeps giving too. Sad to say, he keeps giving. We've all had that problem with sin in our lives. We've all had the problem with dealing with this thing called sin. That was a gift straight from Adam and Eve to each and every one that's ever been born into this world thereafter. I'm talking about a gift of grace that overrules the gift of sin that you have. I'm talking about a gift that completely annihilates one day the gift that Adam gave us. I'm talking about the gift that the first Adam gave us, sin. The gift the second Adam gives is an annihilation of sin one day. A time when we'll never have to worry about sin again. Isn't that a wonderful gift to get a hold of? Yes, it is. It comes through grace. It comes through grace. This free gift that I want to talk of here, as you read down through the verses, and it goes down through verse 21, and talks about the fact that there was a gift given. As a matter of fact, in verse 18, it talks about the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. And that free gift there in the Greek is listed as charismatic, and it means a divine gratuity, an endowment. That's what Christ has given us, an endowment, a gratuity, to show faith, a gift of grace, an undeserved benefit, a free gift. In Proverbs chapter 17, and then I'll move on because I know time is running on here tonight. But in Proverbs 17 and verse 8, the Bible says, a gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whethersoever eternity prospereth. You know what? That's what salvation is to me. That's what the grace of God was to me. And wheresoever it turns, it prospers the one who has received that grace. That's God. Amen. That's God's free gift to us. It means more than everything. You know, as I look back and I think about these shepherds and these, as they went about telling everybody about what was going on, and then later on, as the babe began to grow and the wise men came, and they began to bring all their special gifts, their gold, their frankincense, and myrrh. They were looking at this as a gift exchange. They didn't have much to offer, but it's all that humanity, it was the very best that humanity can offer. And yet, Jesus Christ offers so much more in the gift of grace to us. In the Hebrew, this is noted as a stone of grace. This gift of grace is even now available unto all who will receive it again. John 1:16, the Bible says, and of his fullness have all we received. Grace for grace. The gift of grace has come to you tonight in these very scriptures that we open up here this evening. And again, Luke chapter 2, verse 10, 11, the Bible says, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Grace. My third day this evening, the third gift that I wish to speak of tonight receive the gift of the Son, the gift of grace, and the gift of faith. Receive all three. The gift of faith is what we've been imparted with, enabling us to reach out by faith and trust the unseen. It truly takes faith to believe our scripture tonight, does it not? I mean, seriously. It takes faith to believe in the impossible, does it not? In man's way of understanding, this scripture just cannot be. It's impossible for procreation to be with a single individual, a virgin at that. But God's word states, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. God gives you and I the ability to believe with faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, here the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but gift of grace and faith is not of yourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works, you say, man. You see, the gift of faith is the great gift which opens up Luke 1 and 2. So that we can indeed believe and subsequently receive the greatest gift of all time and eternity. There will never be another greater gift than the gift of Jesus Christ. I go back for just a moment, and you have to go back to the point where with God all things are possible. What did God tell Sarah? Sarah was told in Genesis 18, is anything too hard for God? Folks, I want you to know tonight, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. We looked at the lost around us and we began to wonder, will they ever be saved? Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. My prayer will be tonight that the lost around us would receive the greatest gift man has ever been offered. The gift of Jesus. Matthew chapter 19 and 26, the Bible says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The greatest gift. It's the gift of the virgin woman, Son of God. He has come to give life and to give to those who will receive him. So today, as I look at this scripture and I go back to John 1, receive him today. Receive him this very night, and you will finally come to know what real happiness is. It's the way of peace. There's peace in my heart. Oh, there's times I allow myself to get a little bit worked up, maybe. The times when I allow myself to get a little beside myself, and I shouldn't do that. But there's one thing I do know. I believe in the God that I trust in. And I believe that he's able to save to the uttermost them who call upon him. I believe tonight. I believe he's the greatest gift giver there ever was. You talk about the perfect gift. God has it. And God has it to everyone who will receive it tonight. He's there tonight, ready to give it to you. He is there tonight, even outside of your heart's door, ready to fill your heart up with joy and peace and happiness. You got to receive it. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ this very hour. The greatest gift is there. The greatest gift and the greatest thing that will ever happen to you is finally finding peace within the soul. Have you found that peace in your life? Have you found the peace, the way that leadeth to peace, the way of happiness? your works. I'll tell you where you'll find that. It's at the beginning of Jesus Christ. Complete. You see, with man, we want to try to work our way to heaven, and God says, you can't do it. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never find peace trying to do it. For by works, no man shall be saved. We often look at these things and we think about the Christmas narrative, and we look at this portion of Scripture. A lot of times when we're gathered with family, I know this is one thing I like to do. I like to sit down and I like to read about the birth of Jesus. I want you to know, I want those around me to know that this is more. There's something more. Listen, God is the greatest gift giver. He gave the greatest gift ever. His only begotten Son. He's there tonight. No longer wrath and swallow. He has on the road. Let's get to know. To humanity, this may not be the most beautiful gift-wrapping ever was, but if you're sinner in search of salvation, it's the best wrapping you will ever see. Jesus Christ, dying in your place. God help you tonight. And may the Lord help you tonight to receive the way of happiness, to have peace, prosperity, tranquility. May the Lord grant that unto each and every hearer of this word tonight. Thank you.